Find 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight, if you will. I want to help be a blessing to the church family tonight, and I want to be a help to you. Being a pastor, I know a lot of the same things that all of us churches, we're all part of the church, but this is Liberty Baptist Church, and we're all a part of the same family. I think across America, a lot of our churches are experiencing things. A lot of them is dying. I know I was coming down the road today, matter of fact, and there was a church over on the side of the road, and it had a steeple on it, and it shut the doors. Now they're selling metal out of it. It's coming down out of South Carolina. You've probably seen that building, Brother Ken, traveling. And these other churches I've seen, and I often wonder what happened. What happened? Why did they shut the doors on that place? What happened? Well, I mean, there used to be a place, no doubt. There had to be a burden because a building was built and a structure and land was purchased. No doubt at one time there was some glory there. And just because you have glory now, don't take it for granted. And just because your church seems to be healthy now, don't take that for granted. You know, there's churches closing all over America. And some of them, be honest with you, they already closed. They just don't know it yet. And why is that? Why? What happens? And I think the main thing is, and as a pastor, Brother Ken knows as well, we try to figure out because we don't want our church family to go that route. And I think what it is, really, I think churches are losing their vision, or they don't know what our vision is supposed to be. Some people, our vision is buildings. My goodness, y'all, God has given you a vision, and it comes through your pastor. And man, I remember when I first come here first time, you had this one section right here. Man, it's beautiful. And then Brother Ken and myself and Dad, we walked around here, and me and Dad's been in construction for years, and Ken would say, what do you think about this? And I think the hardest decision for Ken, Brother Ken, to make on that, and I didn't want to speak, I'm sorry for calling you that here. I always want to call him preacher or brother. I don't ever want to disrespect him at church. But anyway, there was a big oak tree stood out here to the church side. Brother Ken, he said, I don't know, tearing that oak tree down, man. And that was a big ordeal. But, I mean, the vision was church needed to expand. So you built that wing on. Then later on, well, you're building this wing on over here. And that's a vision. All of those are visions. But some churches, that's as far as their vision goes. It's in a structure. It's in a building. It's in a paving a parking lot. It's in a playground. It's in some kind of something that requires a lot of labor around a facility. That's their vision. And then, once they're done with that, they're like, well, what's our vision now? And I think the family of God has really missed the mark on that. Those are good visions, but when you get through that, what are you going to do? What's our vision? It's to be deeper than that. And I think the Lord means that for us. My thing is, God help us as His people to maintain our vision the way it's supposed to be. All of us together. It's not the pastor's vision, just his. It's not just a deacon's vision, but it should be all of our vision. And I want to try to share that with Liberty tonight and hope it will help the body of Christ. Now, there probably won't be no standing up, shouting, jumping the pews and running the aisles. But I hope you'll get in your Bible tonight with me and let God show us together as a church family about our vision. And it'll help all of us if we'll let Him. So I want to read verses number 1. That's it. That's all I'm going to read tonight of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Paul speaking. Therefore seeing we have this, say this word with me together, ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. I want to read it again. Therefore, seeing we have this, what? Ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. You can be seated tonight. Down through the years, as God has tried to grow me as a pastor with my church family, one thing I've tried to relay to my people is, as God has shared with me, and this has been kind of a slogan from time to time, church is about ministry, and ministry is about people. A lot of times, most people that go to our churches today, we think some church is about me, and me, or I, am about me. A lot of times when we come to church, we say, Lord, I need you to do something for me today. When really, what are we doing for Him? A lot of times I think we look at church as ministering to us. And a lot of times people leave a church because they say, that church just didn't do nothing for me anymore. When the fact and the question is, what are we doing for the church? I know there's a famous statement that was quoted by John F. Kennedy, and the statement was, ask not what your country can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your country. A lot of people think he came up with that statement, but it was not his. It was an original of Winston Churchill, who made that statement, who was Prime Minister of Great Britain. And so I've tried to adapt that to my life as a believer. I should not ask, what can the church do for me, but what can I do for my church? And then I think that is our focus and that is our vision. So many people say, well, I'll go to that church, but they don't have nothing to offer or nothing for my children. The church where I pastor has been steady growing for several years, and it takes bumps in the roads just like everybody else's, but it's steadily been growing like Liberty, and I've had people come in with young kids, and I've had some of them ask me, and I love children, thank God for children, and there ought to be some times where we do things with kids and have fun with youngins. They ought to be able to have fun and be a Christian just like we ought to be able to have fun and be a Christian. But they say, well, what have you got to offer our children? And I say, well, we've got a King James Bible. That's about all we got to offer your child. And they looking for anything else. And I'm like, well, you might need to find another place to worship, because we've tried all the other things to get our youngins in church and it ain't worked. And look at our children today all across America. It's about time we, instead of taking them out of worship, we bring them back into the church. Let an old-fashioned, leather-lunged man of God get in the pulpit, grab a King James Bible, and preach the Word of God to them. Church is a wonderful place that we come to worship, but our focus as a family has got to be ministry. And some have no idea what it's supposed to be, so I told you. I want to give you a few things about this tonight, and then I'll be done. If you'll notice in verse number 1, you'll see the togetherness of this ministry. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. In verse number 3, you'll notice the target of this ministry. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That is our target. You'll notice the trouble of this ministry in verse number 8. We are troubled on every side. You'll notice the touch of this ministry is found in verse number 13, where it says, we having the same spirit of faith. That is the touch of this ministry. You'll notice the tool of this ministry in verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So preaching is the tool. You'll notice the triumph of this ministry in verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So that is the triumph of this ministry, is the resurrection of the saints and the people of God, because we got a better place to go. So ministry involves all of us. It's not just one or two. It's the young as well as the old. And you never get too old to be used by God. And you're never too young to be used by God. God wants to use every single one of us, and I've always said, everybody is somebody in the body. We all are. You have something to offer the church in ministry. What is your gift, your talent, your ability? You have one to be used for ministry. And church is about ministry. And ministry is about people. So, what is it in your life that God could use to minister to somebody else? You've got something. Church is not all about us or how I feel. To most people, and I'm going to be real, real honest because I know I can. To a lot of people, church is nothing more than a place to come and pray and hear a message to help you get through to the next week. A lot of people don't want to get involved and do anything. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to help. And thank God for y'all. Y'all got a lot of people that help and are involved. I've been here during camp meeting for years. Man, y'all got some of the best cooks this side of heaven. And if some of us preachers go early of a heart attack, you help cause it from your good cooking. I have made up my mind when I go to heaven, starvation is not going to be how I go. I'm not going to starve to death. I've done beat anorexia one time and I don't aim on having to fight it again. And so ministry, liberty, if you have something, all of us, everybody in here, God wants to use you. That is so exciting. To minister to somebody else, whether it's at home or in your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your school, it may be somewhere, finding somebody that you can minister and be a blessing to. Paul says, now, in this book, the Corinthian church is who he's writing to. Now, if God can use the church of Corinth, which was one of the most carnal churches of all the New Testament, they had so much going on, they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They had infidelity going on in the families. There was all kinds of sin going on. They were off their rockers theologically because they had in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it was the gift of tongues that Paul was trying to straighten them out on and bring an understanding because he uses that word understanding, understandeth, or understood a bunch of times in that chapter. This crowd was off doctrinally and yet Paul is saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, but you don't have that issue. You're sound doctrinally. You've got a man of God that has led you down the path. And if God can use the Church of Corinth in ministry, how much more does Liberty Baptist Church have to offer in the ministry? Let me ask you a question as we move along. What are we doing to be a minister? What are you doing? What are you doing to contribute? You remember even Jesus said, I come not to be ministered unto, but I come to what? Minister. Yes, Jesus said, He didn't even have a place to lay His head, yet He offered comfort to everybody. He was the one that wandered about in strange places, and yet a lot of people say if you serve God today, you get a great big mansion down here on earth. It's a funny thing. The King of Kings didn't even have an earthly mansion, and you got guys like Benny Hinn got a $5 million toilet made out of 24 karat gold in his house, and we think that's ministry. I'm here to tell you, friend, we need some people that would shout out to God and say, God, I know I'm just a Christian, and I ain't good for nothing, but Lord, let me be a vessel and find somebody that I can minister to. I don't care if anybody ministers to me or not, but let me be a minister to somebody else. That's right. Who have you ministered to lately? Now, a lot of times our ministry, and I'm going to get to my little message here in a moment, but I feel like for some reason God has hunkered me in here. This is not what I had planned on preaching. You can ask my dad. I was going to preach on Samson tonight. Like one time I was here, I preached on the gospel according to Job. I was going to preach on the gospel according to Samson. And when I got in the preacher's study back there, it's like God for some reason said, no, you need to preach on ministry. And I don't understand that, but I guess He does. Maybe this is what we need to hear tonight. I don't know, but I'm here to say that. Who are you ministering to? How long has it been? Most of the time we only minister to those inside our church family. That's good. We all need ministering to inside the church family. We all do. But we shouldn't get upset when nobody does minister to us. That's a problem. I'll tell you something that happened in my church family in the last 6-8 months. There was one great couple, precious couple, loved them to death. They're just good people, and they're back now, and I love them. But they left for a while. Didn't see them. I was like, where in the world are they at? And then I had one of my members come up to me and say, well, so-and-so left. They've got their feelings hurt. And I said, well, what? Why'd they get their feelings hurt? And I love these people, Brother Ken. Said, well, his mama passed away and nobody showed up at the funeral, so I didn't even know his mama was sick. And then his wife's sister died, and I was like, nobody knew none of, nobody announced it at church, and then they got upset. They didn't share it. They just quit coming because nobody showed up, didn't tell nobody nothing. There was somebody in my church family needed ministering to, and God knows I'd have been there. That's serious stuff. I mean, if you stump your toe or you got a hangnail, that's different. This is somebody that had lost their mama. That's sad. Church ought to be there in a time like that. Made me feel terrible. So I called the man. Couldn't get him. Called him again. Couldn't get him. He wouldn't answer my phone calls. Told my sister. I said, you get on the horn. Don't. I was out of town. I said, you get on the horn. You don't stop calling him till you get him. He finally got a hold of him. Told him nobody knew nothing. My sister apologized. I said, brother, we're sorry. And he's a very humble man. But his feelings was hurt. And I thought, my goodness. Nobody knew anything. And that's the way sometimes. And I say this very carefully. If you've got, some people will be quiet, won't tell nobody nothing, and then get mad when nobody does nothing. I'm like, how in the world can we minister to people if they're not letting anybody know? How can we do it? What am we supposed to do? Read minds? I've tried that for 26 years, being married to my wife, and I fail at it still. So if I can't read my wife's mind, how can I read 350 people's mind in my church? There ain't no way I can do it. And somebody posted, and I got to thinking about this. I said, you know what? Instead of me, and I said, Lord, help me to never get upset if nobody showed up. Now, I've tried to get into my people. Even if nobody shows up during a time like that, get over it and come on and serve God. I'm not in this thing because people are ministering unto me. I'm in this thing because Jesus has ministered. He died for me. He saved me. And somebody needs me to minister to them, whether anybody ministers to me or not. Matter of fact, my wife had her gallbladder took out 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know how it is down here, but there for a while it's like an epidemic. If you had a gallbladder up home, it wasn't going to be long. The doctors was going to take it out. I don't know. I think they got just happy doing that. My wife's big. When she finds out somebody's sick, a lady at home, she's going to put a card in the mail, probably like y'all do. If you know about it, you're going to put a card in the mail telling them you love them, you miss them. If they need a meal, if a woman's had surgery or the husband is sick, my wife's getting the sisters in Christ together. They're going to have a meal. They're going to be checking on them. They're going to be doing all that. My wife's been doing that. That's her heart. That's what she does. When somebody's in the hospital sick, I have my wife call and order flowers from the church, and they put it and send it to the hospital. That's just our church family. We've done it to people that we don't even know that live in the community just to try to minister to them and let them know we're there for them. Because it ain't always about church family. But we do need to minister one to another. Now, she had her gallbladder took out. The only ones out of my whole church family, and I don't have a small church, was my daddy and his wife. A lot of times the ones that are expected the most out of get very little in return. You know? Now, did I get mad and have a huff and fit and pout? Nope. Nope. Because I told my wife, and it did hurt my wife's feelings just a little bit because she's human too. And it hurt Miss Renee's. I mean, Lord, Miss Renee, could you imagine going to the hospital, having surgery, and nobody checking on you? It hurt your feelings too. But you know, ultimately, that's not why you or Ken are here. Y'all are here to minister to other people. But it does play on our mind. Do they not love us? Do they not want to care for us? Or anything like that? But what I'm saying is this. My wife still serves God. Did she quit sending cards? No. Does she still send flyers? Absolutely. Does she love all the women? You better believe it. Is she bitter when she comes the church? No, most of the time I try to keep things calm at home. Now, if we get mad and she gets mad at me, then that's different. we at least play the hypocrite at church and act like we got the perfect marriage, you know. That's the way we're supposed to do. But no, my wife is still there and she's still ministering. Why? I've drilled in my wife, honey, this thing ain't about me and you. We're not here for Bethel to minister to us. We are here to minister to Bethel. What's your focus? Who are you ministering to? Let me give you three things in this verse. Y'all, we ain't going to leave this verse right here now, okay? I'm going to be quick. I'm going to let you go. First of all, this verse, this tells me that they were usable. Notice verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. For Paul to tell them that we have this ministry, Paul was inclining unto them that they were usable. I've already went through some of that with you folk already tonight, that you are usable. And if God can use the church of Corinth, He can use you. But there's got to involve three things. First of all, this implies a willingness. When he said we, you got to be willing to be used in ministry. Now, you must ask yourself, God, or ask yourself, say, am I willing to be used in ministry or do I only want to be ministered to? Let me ask you a question now. I want you to be serious. I want to see a show of hands tonight because this helps us make our psychological decision. How many of y'all in here in this church tonight are willing to let God use you in ministry? I want you to raise your hand. God, use me. Hold them up high. I want to see them up. You're willing to let God use you. Amen. You can put them down. Now, by saying that, you just notified God and your own conscience. You just notified your conscience. And it's going to pop up sometime this week that you raised your hand and you're going to start looking automatically for somebody to minister to. Because you're saying, I'm willing to be used. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to find out that you think less of yourself and more of others. And then you're going to find out that God starts ministering to you more than you ever have imagined. And then you start getting in line. I'm trying to help us with our focus about church and try to keep these church doors open for years and years to come because we got to maintain our right vision. Thank God, though, that you got a few willing people to say, Lord, here I am. Use me in the ministry. I got a willing heart. Let me give you number two. This implies that they were willingness. There's got to be a willingness, but there's got to be a humbleness. Let's look at that verse again. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. He didn't say that ministry, but this ministry. The word ministry, and this is a humbling statement, ministry means to serve others. It takes a humble person to serve somebody else when you feel like you need serving yourself. But it takes a very humble person to be able to look over your own need to get to somebody else. Knowing in your heart that I need something myself, but Lord, this person needs something too. Forget about me for a little bit. I'm going to help this person. This person needs me. Brother Tim, we've talked about things like this in ministry and preachers' meetings and things like that. And to be able to get myself humbled to the point to where I'm not thinking about me, but looking around among the flock, who is it that I can minister to? As soon as I walked out of this door tonight, I seen Brother Jerry Watterson. He's a blessing. How can I not help but see Brother Jerry Watterson? I come out of here and as soon as I did, I seen that big old smile on his face. Looked like he had done caught a boatload of crappie. That's how happy he looked. And I thought, Lord, and you don't know it, brother, but just that smile ministered to me. You ministered to me and you don't even know it by just the smile on your face. Did y'all know by telling our face to smile every once in a while, that's ministry? There's a lot of people who'd love to go blow their brains out, and some would if they went to the average Baptist church. But look at it. But being a minister, somebody needs you. And thank you for being that man. That your whole church is. Everybody in here. I've never been around when y'all haven't ministered to me in some way, shape, or form. But it takes a humble spirit in order to be that kind of person. Because ministry in itself is serving. And serving is a slave. And everybody wants to be served. Nobody wants to be a slave. And you know you have the heart of a slave by how you react when you're treated like one. A lot of people say, well, I've got a servant's heart. Do you really? If you're treated like a servant, how do you take it? Huh? Somebody says, hey, go do that. Huh? I'll tell you right now, why don't you go do it yourself? Yeah, that's how we kind of react. I love it when people treat me like king and royalty. We love it when people are so nice and treat us so nice. But how do we act when we're treated like a slave? Do you get upset? Do you get mad? Do you stomp your feet? Well, bless God, I ain't going. I'm going to show them. They ain't going to tell me what to do. Really? You can't be in the ministry if you can't be a servant. So you say, I want to minister. Now all of y'all that raised your hand said, I'm willing. What about now? Yeah, are you really willing? Are you really willing to be treated like a servant, like a slave? And have a taskmaster. And who is that? That's the Holy Ghost telling you who you need to minister to. Are you willing to be treated like a slave? Somebody in our church. That's why a lot of church doors are shut and they're padlocked doors, is because nobody wanted to humble themselves. They'd made church all about them, lifted themselves up with pride, got a big ego, and now the church doors is shut because they wasn't going to minister to nobody but expected everybody to minister to them. It takes humbleness. Humbleness. Let me give you a third one. This usable. Being usable implies not only a willingness and a humbleness, but it applies an awareness. This ministry. What is your ministry? Are you aware of what your ministry is? Let me help you with that. Can I help you? And I may not get all my message because there's so much coming together on this. And this ain't something I've studied for weeks, because I ain't known for weeks I was going to preach here on Sunday night. I've known for a few days. But I want to say this. You say, what is my ministry? Did you know we all got a little toolbox spiritually? Now, if you're in your toolbox, I'll use this as an example. Let's just say I'm a brick mason by trade. And really, I've done a lot of brick work. Daddy raised me up in a brick pile and a mud pile. And we laid brick and rock, stone, and things like that. Now, in my toolbox, I had things like a trowel, a joiner, a level. I had a plumb bob. I had a mason line. Had all kinds of things in there. Brick tongs, all kinds of stuff for masonry. Now, if I've got a toolbox and those tools are in there, that means I go do masonry work. That don't mean I go dig ditches. Okay? So, let's just say, in my mind and in my heart, I want to dig ditches real bad. I see people digging ditches and I get jealous because they're digging ditches. That's their ministry. And they're good at digging ditches. And in my toolbox, I've got tools over here to go lay brick, but I don't want to go lay brick. I want to dig ditches so bad. And so, instead of using my tools to do what God has called me to do, I grab my level and I jump out there in the ditch and I'm going to start helping them dig ditches with the only tools I got, which ain't made for digging ditches. And I'm going to take my level and I'm going to start digging in that ditch. And after a while, I start saying, man, this is so hard. Why ain't I as good as they are? So I think, I need to work harder. So I'm going to work harder with digging with my level. And they got these good shovels for digging ditches, but the harder I work, the less I seem to accomplish. And I still and I'm getting frustrated and I'm tired. And I say, I want to dig a ditch. I want to dig it. God, you put it in my heart to dig a ditch so bad, but I can't do it. So what we do, we throw our hands up in the air and we put our tools up and we say, I can't do it because I can't do what I want to do. And then you get mad at the ones that are good ditch diggers. What tools has God put in your chest? Are you using them tools to minister? If you're a mechanic, use it as a ministry. I know I've been here in Carrollton, Georgia before and needed my truck serviced and tires rotated. And I know Brother Kelly Reynolds over there, Pastor Holy Ground. Good brother. I don't know him real well, but I know I've went over there before and I think he's part owner of that or something. And they use that as a ministry. I've went out there before and tried to pay them and they found out it was me. And they said, no, brother, that's a ministry. We got to give to preachers and God's people but a lot or God has shut this place down. And you pull in there and these cars lined up. Y'all know where I'm talking about. And God's blessed that thing because why? They use it as ministry. Church is about ministry and ministry is about people. What's your gift? What tools are in your chest? What can God use you to be a minister? Are you a salesman, a sales rep? Use it as ministry. That's your gift. If you've got the gift of gab, for heaven's sakes, talk to people. If you can talk to them, talk to them. And find a way to bring up the gospel and minister. Whatever it is. You say, well, I'm good on a computer. A lot of people are good on a computer anymore. Well, use it as a ministry. There's got to be an awareness of what your ministry is. Now, let me ask you this as a church family. What is this ministry? We're still in the Bible. We're still in church. Sin, therefore, liberty has this ministry. This is your focus, this ministry. Now, who are you ministering to? You say, well, we support missionaries. Yeah, that's good. We do too. Thank God for missionaries at home and abroad, wherever they are. But you personally, and me personally, other than giving out of my pocket to help ministries and missionaries, what am I doing in ministry? What's your ministry? You say, oh, I paid a preacher. We paid a preacher. This is his ministry. No, it ain't his ministry. No. This is y'all's ministry. Matter of fact, this is our ministry. Because we're all ministering together. Some of you women looking over at your husband saying, yeah, you told me I couldn't be a preacher. Now, we ain't talking about that. We ain't talking about preaching. We all know you women can preach. Amen. My wife's a good one. That's a fact. Ministry. What is your ministry? Let me give you another thing. Watch this now. In this verse, seeing therefore we have this ministry, it tells me they were usable, but it tells me they were united. Look at verse 1 again. It says, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. Look at verse 7. But we. Notice with me in verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Notice verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. So now he's pulling everybody in that it takes unity in order to be involved in ministry. That means, you know, let me tell you why the devil loves causing so much division in churches. He wants this lady over here mad at that lady over there, and that brother over there mad at this man right here, and he wants that teenager up there, especially girls, because y'all can't have but one friend at a time. If you have more than that, you're mad. And all the parents knows that for a fact. But he wants everybody tore up, upset, won't speak, because he knows as long as there's unity, then we can see that we have this ministry. That's why he wants you upset at your preacher or your preacher's son-in-law. He's trying to call division in any way that he can. Thank God for unity. And if you have it, you ought to thank God for the unity that you have with each other. And a lot of those churches have shut down because they lost their focus. And they lost their focus because they couldn't ever have unity with one another. Somebody was upset about something, mad, stomping out, and get mad at somebody and get their feelings hurt. And come to find out, they go to another church and they get their feelings hurt there. And they go to another church and they get their feelings hurt there. And they go to another and they find out we're all the same people at the same places, just different faces. And after a while, you get tired of picking up your ball and bat and going playing somewhere else. Because all the teams are mean. I hope it's helping, Brother Ken. I feel like it is. But watch this now. Unity. The fact that they were united in this ministry. Now, Paul talking to them as a whole, saying we. He's pulling them in. They undoubtedly had some unity. Now, if the church of Corinth can have unity with all the junk they had going on, how much more should we have it? I mean, my Lord. And then notice this. This tells me and speaks of, first of all, their need of each other. Sin, therefore, we have this ministry. That means they need each other. Why? Because we got ministry to do. We need you. Everybody needs everybody. They don't. We don't. A lot of preachers used to, and I've seen it and even been guilty of it myself. Bless God, I'll church them, run them out of town, run them out. Ain't going to do that at my... There's enough of running people off. And we don't need to lose no more out of this thing. We need to be gaining ground, and we need to help people get right and minister one to another. Why? Whether you realize it or not, I don't even live down here, and I need you. And whether you realize it or not, you need me. And you need your pastor. And your pastor needs you. We all need each other. Why? It's for the sake of the ministry. Everybody needs everybody. Even the ones you don't agree with. The need of each other speaks of the nearness of each other. Seeing therefore we have this ministry. There's a nearness, there's a closeness, and then the nature of each other. If you're going to stay in the ministry with people very long, you're going to find out that people ain't always real nice to be around. And just because they ain't real nice, it don't mean you get out of the ministry, no. You stay in the ministry. That's what some people do. Well, that person, I don't like them, so they get out of the ministry. Why? You mean the effect of Calvary didn't have any more than that than somebody make you mad and you're going to leave it because somebody said something you didn't like and you can't get along with them. So now your feelings are hurt and you're going home and you ain't going back to church. And you say, phooey on the ministry, let everybody else do it. And so then the workload becomes more and we start losing ground instead of gaining ground. Wouldn't it be a good thing if we'd all just grow up just a little bit instead of wearing our feelings on our shoulders and say, hey, I know some people are stubborn and I can be one of the worst ones. Why can't I get over myself and realize this thing ain't about how I feel? But it's about serving God and ministering to other people. Whether anybody notices what I'm doing or not, we don't do it for a pat on the back. And a little encouragement is good a long way, but if you ain't careful, you'll start doing what you do for God just for the pat on the back. And if you're doing it for a pat on the back, then it won't be long. You won't do it no more because people will soon start expecting it instead of appreciating it. Church is about what? And ministry is about what? What about that now? Let me give you a third point. This verse tells me they were usable. It tells me they were united. But it tells me there was an understanding. Look at verse 1 again. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. Notice this. We faint not. Now, there's got to be an understanding. And Paul was trying to get into their mind by so when he said, we faint not. Now, the fact that he said, we faint not, tells me that ministry is not always easy. He said, hey, we've got a ministry, but we faint not. So for him to say, there's a possibility some do faint, ministry's hard work. Let me tell you one of the hardest things for me to do in ministry anymore, and I'm a pastor. Been there at Bethel now close to 20 years. And I think about it. I despise hospitals. I despise hospice. I thank God for the work that they do. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not being critical. I don't like going to them. I do. And you'd never tell it by my facial expression because I'd never let anybody think that I didn't enjoy and love being there where people are dying and suffering. I don't like it. I don't like it, Brother Ken. I find it hard. It's not easy for me to get up and go do something. There's some things in ministry I enjoy, and there's some things in ministry I despise. But I do it either way because it's both ministry. I don't just do it because I want to do it. I do it because it's ministry, and it's about people. Ministry ain't always easy. Ministry ain't always enjoyable. It's not going to be something that you're going to find entertaining. And sometimes it is. Sometimes you're going to find fulfillment. But it ain't. It's, ministry is not about you and I enjoying it. That's not what it's about. So you say, well, it ain't fun no more. Well, la-di-da. Welcome to the real world of ministry. It ain't supposed to be fun all the time. You better make it fun. Paul had to think himself happy. I've had to do that a lot myself. You're going to have to learn to do the same thing. It ain't always going to be an enjoyable thing, and it ain't always going to be easy. But it's ministry. And we've got it. He gave it to us. It's ours. And you've got it. And we're in it together. So I might as well enjoy it or try to, because somebody else is going to be watching whether I'm enjoying it or not. And I don't want to think I ain't enjoying it. We play the hypocrite, don't we? Ministry ain't always enjoyable. Watch this now, and I'm going to be done right here. There's got to be an understanding in this ministry that ministry is not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be enjoyable. And it's not always going to be effective. You're not always going to get a response from serving God. And if you serve God to see that you are effective, you're going to get your feelings hurt. I couldn't tell you the times. And here's what I started doing over the years. I used to keep cards with me, preacher cards. And I don't carry them, but I need to. You know, I'm not one of those preachers that pulls out a thing full stack of business cards. You know, here's my card, give me a call. You know, some of them do that. No, I didn't carry them for that. I used to keep them in my billfold. Because when I'd go to the hospital, and I was bad when I was making my rounds, if I'd go to the hospital or somebody's house and they wasn't at home, I was like, man, I just drove 2.5 hours all the way to the hospital and they ain't here. But if I had a card and they were coming back, I could leave my card and I got credit for it. Oh, yeah. Or if I went to their house and they wasn't at home, I'd leave a card in the door or something. That way I got... Well, he thought about me. Whoop. He thought about me. That would be ministry right there in a simple card that somebody... But it ain't always effective. There's a lot of times we as preachers, we preach in the ministry to groups of people and we know we ain't always effective. Those times I preach and I feel like I've preached my lungs out and wonder why in the world my people are still staring at me like I'm some kind of crazy nut. Right. Give an invitation and everybody's like, and the devil jumps on my shoulder and says, boy, you preached a hot one today, bud. And I'm like, Lord, tell him to shut up and leave me alone. When before I got to church, I was like, Holy Ghost was on me so much, I was like, boy, they're going to fill the altars up before I get halfway done with this thing this morning. Lord, you helping me? And then you go to church and you preach that thing, and that thing goes right out of the pulpit and right there, and nobody hears a word I'm saying. Ministry ain't always effective. There's a lot of people, and I think that's one of the hardest things, Brother Ken, is investing in other people's lives to see that you never had an impact and you wasn't effective in what you were doing. That hurts as a preacher. I've had people that I've tried to invest in and put time into them and labor and pray with them and for them, but to no avail. But you know why I've done it? I didn't do it for the results. I've done it because I have and we have this ministry. Whether it's effective or not, we are ministering. That should be the focus of the New Testament church. Church is about what? And ministry is about what? Let's say it again. Preacher Canna. Church is about what? And ministry is about what? Church is about what? And ministry is about what? Church is about what? And ministry is about... Now, if we can maintain that, it'll help us as God's people, and it'll help us in ministry, and it'll help us in church families, and it'll help keep the doors open as we minister to people. Father, we love you today.